Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-o! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Ladies and gentlemen, entering the podcast ring at this time, with a combined weight of 860 pounds, are the new tag team champions, the Super Size Guys. First, representing This Week in Geek and hailing from parts unknown, he is Mike. The Birdman, Dodd.
They call me the Shockmaster.
And his podcasting partner, representing the Geekcast Radio Network and hailing from the outer reaches of your mind, he is TFG1 Mike Blanchard.
The biggest night the sport has ever seen.
These two podcasting giants have joined forces in the World Podcasting Federation. This is Mayhem Mikes. And now, let's get ready to podcast.
Hello and welcome.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-o! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Welcome to the Geekcast Radio Network and This Week in Geeks. Mayhem Mikes, this is episode 12. And no, this is not the Battleground episode because Battleground hasn't happened yet. It actually happens this weekend. So you'll actually be getting episode 13 probably sometime next week. Woo. But we're here for episode 12. I am, of course, TFG1 Mike. Joining me is Birdman Dodd. Hello.
Bootios! It's a real thing now. I'm excited. Sorry. Overexcited.
And we have Ryan and even Flo Merkley. Hello, how are you?
Awake.
Awake. Yay.
Our certified G is indeed awake.
No zombie Ryans. At episode 12, we're going to be talking about the WWE 2016 brand extension draft. When was the last time they did this shit?
Like 2000 and what, 5, wasn't it, or something?
4
like that?
Or 5, yeah. It's about 11 years ago.
So this is my first draft. I have no idea what the hell to expect.
I don't remember the last, like, I remember the last draft happening, but I don't remember what the fuck actually happened in the last draft, Ryan.
Well, a number of things. I mean, it seems like they learned at least a couple things from this. The last draft, for example, tag teams got split up because somebody would draft one member and then somebody else drafted another. That was really dumb and didn't work out well at all for pretty much all of the tag teams that got split. Although it did give us Batista, so... because he started out as Deacon Batista, as a like guy helping out Brother Devon, because they split up the Dudley Boys.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. I can't remember if that was the first draft or the later one, but yeah. So, yeah, they seem to have learned from that, which was smart. They did a lot of the stuff on the network, which is... It's kind of weird having a draft show for a wrestling event where, you know, the outcomes and who's going to be drafted and everything else is predetermined by one person, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, it just felt a little odd It's not a bad idea, but that was kind of weird. Oh, and we got new...
I think they did that because they want people to go to the network.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And we got new commentary teams out of it. Yay!
That, I didn't expect that.
Okay, who... What happened with the commentary teams? Because I watched SmackDown, and I didn't see anything about them.
Oh, sweet.
Called up, didn't he?
Yeah, sweet bliss. So Raw is now... it's Michael Cole, still, unfortunately, in Saxton. Also unfortunate. Oh. However, Corey Graves is the heel announcer. That will make Raw 100 times more watchable all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And SmackDown is now Moro, JBL, and...
Byron.
No, the third. David Otunga. Duh.
That'll be.
Oh, okay.
A weird combination.
That one's odd.
Jerry doing pre-shows now.
Well, Jerry's gone probably.
I think pre-show.
Yeah, Jerry and Booker T Renee. Are the two pre-show guys.
So that's not terrible. Actually, this is actually not a terrible announce team lineup. Although I don't know why they keep Saxton on the main desk.
That's weird.
I can't stand Saxton.
Well, although the one reason is, and I've said this a few times, Graves and Saxton work well together.
Okay.
So it might almost be sort of a safety net for Graves being called up. But he's good enough. He's going to be fine on his own.
Would almost say it's more of a safety net for Cole. Because sometimes, I mean, I know everyone hates him, but sometimes I like Michael Cole because, I don't know, I'm used to him, I guess. And it's one of those things where there are times where he does transitions well, and then sometimes he doesn't do transitions well. like if JBL says, "Well there, Michael, we have blah, blah, blah."
"Well there, Michael."
See, I'm going to miss JBL's nonsensical rantings to Michael Cole.
But here's the genius part about it, Mike. He'll now be doing that tomorrow.
He's going to stare at him like, "What?"
Yeah, Marlo's going to be like, "What the hell are you?"
Thanks for that stupid comment, JBL.
And like I said in episode 11, I really do think that Marlo is the current generation's JR.
Yeah.
I really do think that, and I really do enjoy Marlo.
But I like this teaming, both teamings, just because I think the not-as-good elements will be kept in check by the good ones. I think... Graves will A, make Saxton better, and B, I think maybe he'll control Cole a little bit, because Graves tends to talk about stuff that's happening in the ring and not about apps and that kind of thing. And on the opposite side, I hope Morrow can keep JBL in check. JBL goes on a 10-minute tangent about sometime he was in the wrestling ring.
All right, before we get to the draft results, here are the rules for the WWE Brand Extension Draft 2016. Raw has the first overall pick. No duh, it's the flagship show. Since SmackDown Live is a 2-hour show and Raw is a 3-hour event, for every 2 picks SmackDown Live receives, Raw will receive 3 picks. Tag teams count as 1 pick unless a commissioner or general manager specifically only wants one member of the team. 6 draft picks will be made off the NXT roster. So let me ask you guys before we start running. There were 11. Was it 11 total rounds? There were 11 total rounds of the draft. So before we get into the results, Mike, what were you kind of expecting out of this being your first draft? Were you expecting certain superstars to stay on one show or the other, or were you expecting a complete free-for-all where anybody could be anywhere, no matter what?
Whose fucking decision was it to draft Cesaro in round 6?
28.
That guy's way better.
Yeah, 28. And anyone who didn't see it, by the way, he had an outstanding interview. I recommend going to find it.
Yes.
But he had an outstanding interview that was very... it was basically a shoot interview. Like, he was ticked, and legitimately ticked, and I think he has a right to be.
Yeah,
that was interesting. And yeah, Owens, the same
Dolph
thing,
Ziggler,
by the way.
Went above him.
Yeah, Owens went 18 as well, and he was really ticked off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, All right. There are some of these choices which surprise me. I mean, one other thing, putting so many tag teams on Raw, I think is a big fucking mistake.
Yeah.
Because it kills so many different storylines. The fact that the club is now split up, I think it's kind of.
There's good reason for that. That should actually help them.
I hope it does.
Because Raw drafted Finn Balor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so next.
All right, before we, Ryan, did you have anything that you wanted to say about surprises or anything that you were expecting out of this before we get to our announcer?
No, I mean, I was a little surprised more NXT people didn't get brought up, but I think it's inevitable that, you know, they're doing call-ups a little later. So I was a little surprised / disappointed. We joked about this in the pre-show, but I'll say this. I was surprised SmackDown, the show that Shane's running, that's supposed to be all about wrestling and supposed to be about younger talents, and they're the ones that draft Orton and Cena.
Yeah. Well, the way I look at that is maybe it's to, and I know you said in the pre-show before we started this, you had said that those guys generally knock people down. Maybe they're trying to get them to
not intentionally, not intentionally.
No. Yeah. I don't mean I don't mean Orton and Cena knock other superstars down intentionally, but just the way that the writing is done, the way the storylines are done, they generally, because people want to see Orton and Cena win. What I'm saying is maybe the reason why they were drafted to SmackDown was so that they can help and coach that new talent coming up, you know, give them their experience. Maybe, you know, it's WWE, and I don't think WWE thinks that deeply, but hey, who knows? All right, folks, originally, if he wasn't going to be out of town off, I don't know what he's doing. He's off wrestling with some sort of superhero drawing or something or other. But originally, I was going to actually have four of us on this show. I was going to have our good old announcer buddy, TV's Mr. Neil, join us here on the show live. But sadly, we couldn't get that to work. So I had Neil record a clip. Originally, I was hoping he would give us thoughts on some of the draft picks, but he gave an overall opinion piece on the WWE draft. So we're going to get to that, and we'll be back with round one after this.
This is TV's Mr. Neil here with the Mayhem Mike's Road Report. Sponsored by 1-800-COLLECT.
Wait, are they no longer in business?
Shit. All right, so what do I think of the WWE Draft 2016? Well, to be honest, I'm going to be the voice of the naysayers on this one, so pardon my bleak perspective on this. I have never been a fan of the split WWE roster, and I'll tell you why. It goes back to the first time they did it, shortly after dissolving the Invasion storyline. Not many people remember that this double brand idea was first pitched when the World Wrestling Federation acquired WCW and had intended to relaunch WCW programming like Nitro on one of their Viacom affiliates, to whom they had an exclusive agreement at the time. But nobody wanted to air WCW programming, and so the brand split was put on the back burner for a year. The purpose was always to reignite the excitement of having a competing brand system while maintaining it entirely under the WWF Entertainment banner, later WWE. The problem with this system is that it betrays the premise from the very start. Instead of getting competing brands ruthlessly sniping and legitimately sabotaging one another, like during the Monday Night Wars, which is the kind of stuff we found exciting in the 90s, we got a safe, balanced version of the two-brand rivalry under the brand split. There were certain times when one brand was superior to the other. In the early 2000s, SmackDown was far and away the superior show. However, WWE's business sense would always compel them to pull talent from one brand to the other to balance the two programs, resulting in both brands being equally mediocre. I had basically checked out of WWE by the summer of 2005 because it always felt as if anytime things got exciting on one show or the other, WWE would even things out again. And I actually liked the sort of company rivalry in which one of them would be allowed to run with the ball for a while. In fact, the WWE roster split always felt like a sitcom to me, in which, you know, the two roommates painted the line down the center of the apartment to delineate which was whose side, but for all intents and purposes, it was always the same apartment. Now, there are good things about a roster split. It addresses a bloated roster and it gives a more diverse range of talent a chance to shine when you're literally only dealing with half the competition. On the other hand, I don't like what it does to the championships. In the past, WWE has attempted to either have two world champions or have a unified champion to represent both shows. I'm not a fan of either idea. I've always felt it was sort of a catch-22. If you have one belt across both shows, then you always have one show in which the champion doesn't really represent the brand. Like a Raw guy wearing the belt on the SmackDown show, it's like, On the other hand, if you have two belts, then it makes the world title seem less special, since it's all under the umbrella of WWE anyway. At the time of this recording, it isn't clear how the championships will be addressed. I can understand if the Intercontinental belt and the United States belt represented different brands, as they're basically equivalent to each other anyway. But what about the women's title? I'm not sure the women's division is even large enough to justify Charlotte defending the belt on both shows. On the other hand, it doesn't seem right to have the belt only appear on one brand, considering that they just created a new belt that now prominently features the company logo, something they had only recently done this year. And it seems like already the women's division is getting shafted, since all women are subject to the draft, and one brand will either have one champion, or perhaps worse, will have one brand that's subject to having the revival of the Divas belt. Now, I suppose you guys wanted me to comment on the draft picks themselves, but to be completely honest, the draft picks don't mean as much as how WWE handles the whole thing creatively, and we've just not seen that yet, so I don't know what to say. WWE has enough good talent now that they can have two great brands. They basically have a ton of homespun talent from NXT, plus they have the very best of TNA, such as like AJ Styles and Samoa Joe, which leads to the very puzzling question, who the fuck is in TNA these days? But if they handle it the way they have in the past, I just can't help feeling like WWE is going to throttle the momentum of either show should one or the other take off. Anyway, that's my rant. TV's Mr. Neil signing off.
Thank you to the Mayhem Mike's Road Reporter, TV's Mr. Neil, our announcer guy. If people listen to this podcast, I didn't send this to you guys, but if people listen to this podcast, you're going to hear a brand new Mayhem Mike's intro, sans Lawler, since Neil's like, oh yeah, I got to take Lawler out of there now that he's filled with controversy. So he sent me a new one. I'm actually going to have him rewrite one. I'm going to rewrite one for him and have him do a completely different one. But we do have a new theme for this episode, at least.
If I go to a live event, if I can just get 2 seconds with Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
Who's not under contract anymore. Yeah, well, I expect to... Well, who knows what's going to happen with Brock. We can get into that another time, though.
Yeah, we'll get into that another time. All right, so the round one picks for the WWE 2016 Brand Extension Draft. Top five. Number one, Seth Rollins to Raw.
Yay.
Yeah,
number two, the current WWE champion, Dean Ambrose, to SmackDown Live.
Woo.
Yay. I'm curious what will happen with the belt, because you got two guys from Raw competing against one guy from SmackDown. And Neil brought up the point, in previous years, what they did when they had one belt, that guy would just appear on both shows, or they've had two belts. Those are the two choices. So are they going to split it? I don't know.
Number three overall was the WWE Women's Champion, Charlotte. She stays on Raw.
No surprise.
Yay, but she can't feud with Eva Marie now. What the hell?
The phenomenal one came in at number four, AJ Styles, who will now be on SmackDown Live.
Good pick and kind of cool to see him this high. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Obviously shows they think a lot of the guy.
Yeah, I think
which
they
should.
Guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
The fifth overall pick was Finn Balor from NXT. He's going to Raw. Ryan, you can start singing the praises.
Yeah, also very good. There's other great talent in NXT, but I guess they, you know, didn't want to raid it all at once, which makes sense.
I'm glad he went top five, though. That's so awesome.
Yeah, I hope this means that they actually think a lot of him. Also, for the record, for anyone who doesn't know this, he is tied to Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows in the past as part of the Baylor Club / Bullet Club. So I suspect that's why they're there. It's another kind of sign that they think a lot of AJ Styles by splitting them up, actually, because they think, well, okay, AJ can work on his own.
Right.
He's, you know, done well enough. So I think it's smart.
And that goes back to what you and I were talking about. I think it was last episode or maybe in the WrestleMania 2016 episode about why are they trying to promote AJ as a singles as well as doing the club? And now that we see that Finn Balor has come up, maybe now they're going to start using just AJ as singles and, like you said, reunite the Balor club or whatever. Who knows? Number six overall is the guy everybody hates, or I should say the guy everybody hates, Mr. Roman Reigns.
Yeah, this is the drug division, by the way, here in Raptor.
Wow. Because
we got Lesnar, Orton, and Reigns all in one group.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So Roman goes to Raw.
So is he going to be a bad guy now? That's the big question everybody has.
We'll see if he's wearing his vest on Sunday.
By the way, why does he get to wear a bulletproof vest? That's been one of my great wrestling questions. Why doesn't everybody just wear a flak jacket then if it's legal?
Because he's so cool and he looks like Discount Spider-Man.
Yes. Yeah. He looks like Spider-Man 3 Spider-Man. Oh. Anyway.
John Cena going to SmackDown, I think that brings some prestige to the show, and I kind of like that pick.
I'm surprised he went that low, and I know I've been critical of the guy, and I don't mean to, because I mean, I'm critical of how he's been written, not of the guy. He is a human being, and he is amazing.
Yes.
And so I've been critical of how he's been written, but it's interesting that he goes this low. And I guess it's because some people have been saying that he's looking at being more of a part-time guy because he started doing more television, that kind of thing. Also, as he's gotten older, he's starting to get injured a little bit more, which is really unfortunate.
Well, he's never broken that ceiling kind of like how The Rock has. He's never quite reached that many movies and that much TV. Maybe now is quote his song, now is his time, so to speak.
Well, it's because he's never taken any time off, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's just always there, which I think in the end kind of hurt him, because there's the old line, you know, how can we miss you if you're never gone?
Yeah.
I think, you know, time away might have helped him a little more physically and maybe with the fans. And definitely, his career, if you've seen him in Trainwreck, he's got potential.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
I'd like to see him continue with it.
Absolutely. All right, number eight overall.
Bork Lesnar.
Yeah.
No surprise.
So every now and then that this will happen to me, and I don't mind admitting to this, but every now and then I do get fooled online because there's so many goddamn fake news-ass stories. At first I thought I had to go back and look at it again and see that it was a joke website. One of the joke websites, because there was a conspiracy or controversy with Brock about testing positive for whatever the hell, and this spoof website
twice
said...
Twice now.
Shut up. Wait, oh, for Brock or for me?
No,
oh,
for Brock,
okay.
Yeah, tested positive twice now, and it's a masking agent he tested for.
Oh, okay. The spoof website said something about Brock Lesnar has tested for drugs you've never heard of. It said something about spider something and like spider. Like, oh my God, give me a break. But Brock goes to Raw. I mean, Brock was already on Raw. He was never on, to my knowledge, in the last 10 years, he was never on SmackDown. He might have made appearances on SmackDown, but Raw has always been his show.
He was a huge part of the Heyman SmackDown, though.
Can I ask a legitimate question here?
Uh-oh. Is it about drugs?
No, it's actually about Brock Lesnar as a person. Is he Canadian?
Yeah, he's he lives here, and he's decided, you know, he'll be from where he lives. So yeah, he switched over just before the pay per view, and he came out with the Canadian maple leaf on him, and he was announced as being from Saskatchewan. He lives, to the best of my knowledge, he lives like quite a few miles actually, out of Saskatoon, and he was
right
announced as
our buddy JT.
he was announced as being out of Regina, or as they pronounced it, Regina, I believe. And anyway, yeah, he lives out in the boonies, and he's got like a 2-mile driveway. At the end of it, he's got a payphone. That's how you get a hold of him. He doesn't have a cell phone or anything.
Yeah, just go watch the Stone Cold podcast with him, Mike. You can learn all you want to learn about Brock Lesnar.
Listen to the first time I ever heard the story of where he lives was from Paul Heyman on one of those shows.
Mm. Number 9 overall, Randy Orton goes to SmackDown. I do not remember. I've been watching wrestling pretty much all my life off and on. The last time I was deep into it was the late, like, 98, 99, and then I stopped from that point till about 2003. So you'll have to remind me, Ryan, did Randy start on SmackDown originally?
That's a good question. I
don't remember.
I thought he started on Raw with, like, I know he was there before Evolution.
Okay.
That's a good question.
I'm pretty sure he was a Raw guy, because I remember seeing a lot of footage of him on Raw.
I'm not going to lie. If I had known that's where we were going, I would have cheated and looked it up. But also, I was kind of hoping you were going to say, like, yeah, I've been watching wrestling, you know, most of my life, et cetera, et cetera. I have no idea when the last time Randy Orton was on television.
That's true. I mean, like, seriously, like, we haven't seen him in months and months and months. And that's the other thing, and this is just a little aside. The whole authority thing with him and Batista, I know Batista's pretty much essentially gone at this point.
Oh, yeah,
he's not
never coming back.
Yeah, he's not coming back. But, like, I want it. Like, they made a big deal a couple of years ago about, you know, the Animal's return, Batista's return, and he still had that Saliva, I Walk Alone theme music and everything else, and he was going to be the champion at least for a little while, and then shit happened and whatever else. And I'm like, damn, I just kind of wanted to see that one last time if the guy's never, ever, ever going to come back again. But Randy going to SmackDown, I think, is cool because I always remember Randy from being on SmackDown.
And you're right. Yeah, he started out on SmackDown before being drafted to Raw years later.
Yeah.
Or years later, much later that year. Anyway.
The 10th overall pick, ending out round 2, is the WWE Tag Team Champions, The New Day. They stay on Raw.
No surprise there. No surprise. They sell so well. The kids love them. They bring a much-needed positive energy to the show. And they're goofy as shit.
So quick question for both of you. First 10, we see who it is. Doesn't it kind of feel like Raw is still the A quote unquote show?
It feels like
they haven't done I'm just saying feeling. I'm not saying that's how it's gonna turn out. It's just weird that there's this sort of feeling that
it's predictable.
Yeah, it is so WWE predictability. It's so Raw is the flagship, SmackDown is the blue-headed stepchild. You know,
I'm down to about round 5 where things start to fall apart.
Yeah. So round 3, I think round 3, I don't know. Round 3 has Sami Zayn at overall number 11 pick going to Raw.
Good call. Love Sami Zayn. Love his theme music, actually. That's like the ringer on my phone. Love Sami Zayn. He's so, man. Love that ska music.
Did you watch what I sent you or what I told you to watch?
I have not had a chance to watch that.
Okay.
Yet, no.
Still the best match this year.
And then I guess.
And we got
Bray Wyatt.
Bray, yeah, number 12, going to SmackDown Live.
And we saw the Wyatt split up a bit.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll get to the other Wyatts later, but with Bray going to SmackDown, I don't know where the other ones are going.
The only other one that's not going to SmackDown is Strowman, which, by the way, is weird because he's the weakest of the bunch, like on the mic and everything else.
Yeah.
I wonder if this means they're going to...
Goddamn goon.
I don't know if they're going to repackage him then or what, but
yeah,
maybe that's who he'll be. He'll be a new The Goon, if anyone remembers that character.
Or he'll be like that guy with the fucking garbage can or whatever.
Duke the Dunkster Drossy.
Jeez. Then we got 13th overall, Sasha Banks, the boss, on Raw.
Good call there. Good call.
Yeah.
Love
14 is Becky Lynch to SmackDown Live.
So what are the...
help them.
It's good, but what do the people who are on shows without the belt do? Like, what if you're a tag team and you're not on Raw? What are you competing for?
True.
Popcorn.
Yeah. I think that's a question they'll have to answer.
Chris Jericho on Raw.
I would have put him on SmackDown, personally.
I would have, too, because, again, just like Randy Orton, I remember Chris more on SmackDown. Like, I remember a few times that when Chris was injured and he came back, when he would come back to SmackDown, he'd be like, you know, Y2J is home, is SmackDown.
But it's Raw as Jericho.
Yeah, I know.
I guess the thing is, who do you need him to push? I mean, there's nobody from the top 15 that you need Chris Jericho to lose to.
Yeah, and he's a weird pick to Raw because they've got, and it's funny because SmackDown was supposed to be the one with the young guys, but Raw ends up as the one with like some younger guys who need, or I shouldn't say need, who in my opinion, should have bigger roles like Zayn and Owens. So do you necessarily need a Jericho there? Like, I feel like he would have brought a little bit more to SmackDown.
But I think the way his character has been the last...
Oh, he's great. I'm not trying to make...
I know you're not. But what I'm saying is, like, you asked, you know, why do we need, you know, why do we need him on Raw? I think what it is if you look at the last couple of feuds he's done, like the feud with Dean and who was the other one? Wasn't there another one recently Kevin besides Owens, Dean? Yeah. The feuds with Dean and Owens. Chris's character at this point, he's not 1998 Chris Jericho anymore. He's 2016 Chris Jericho, the whiny, privileged baby character. You know, oh, this scarf is $15,000 thing and whatever else. And I think at this point in his career, he's already amassed enough where they're just now using him as more of a jester character.
I think the reason why maybe he went too Raw is maybe he's that leadership role they need in the locker room for some of the younger guys.
Yep. Possibly, yep. All right, round four includes 16th overall United States champion Rusev with Lana going to Raw.
I think that's a good call. I think Rusev can be very strong when he's written right. With Lana, even better. Although I don't know how I like her as a competitor yet.
Yeah,
we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Has she competed yet? Have I missed something?
Yeah, there's the sweet matches. Yeah, and don't forget the sweets: Lana, Summer Rae, Ziggler, Rusev. Everybody loves.
Yeah, no, nobody loves it, dude. Come on now.
Clearly, for the ages.
Be honest, Ryan.
No, I know. I was being really sarcastic. Yeah,
I know you were being really sarcastic, but honesty is better in this case.
Number 17. I can't say I'm surprised.
Intercontinental Champion, The Miz, with Maurice, SmackDown Live. Now let's talk about these two really quickly. 16 and 17 are the couples champions. You know, you got Rusev with Lana and The Miz with Maurice.
Maurice brings nothing to the table, though.
Okay, well, wait. So the way that they were advertising this on the shows the last couple of weeks before the draft happened, I specifically remember The Miz saying that, oh, I could go to Raw and Maria, and it was, you know, like they were going to split them up and kind of like what they did last time, like you guys were saying, and like Neil was saying about how they split up the Dudley boys kind of thing. I don't see The Miz and Maurice or even Rusev and Lana as a tag team. They're not, because WWE does not do
intergender.
They do not do gender tag team stuff anymore.
Well,
yeah.
They also teased breaking up the tag teams, which they didn't really do, except for the Lucha Dragons, which is pretty funny. They're the only ones that get split up at all.
Yeah.
Yet they keep the Shining Stars.
Oh, we'll tell you. So. We'll get to that in a bit.
But they really love Puerto Rico. Don't you get it?
Okay, so 18th overall, and much to his angry Canadian chagrin, is Kevin Owens to Raw.
He should have went top 15.
Well, I don't know what they're... Yeah, I'm...
Wait, what do you mean top 50? He did go top 50. He was 18th top... Oh, top 15. Okay.
I just said Tim and Jericho.
Okay, yeah.
He honestly could have gone top 5. It's really weird. It feels like that they have no idea what to do with the guy still.
Well, right now, he's got the giant feud with Sammy, and thankfully they're both on Raw, so we continue. I love seeing those two.
Yeah.
I love, like, I'm not the big, you guys know this, I have yet to get into NXT. I know everyone still says, oh, go watch NXT, it's great, and that's all well and fine and great and whatever, but I've just always been more of a fan of the quote-unquote polished mainstream product. But seeing Owens come up, I've seen several of his NXT matches, seeing Sammy and seeing them feud, going from, you know, best friends to feuding foes, just absolutely love watching the two of them fight. I love watching Kevin Owens fight anybody, yeah. Honestly. Like, his matches with Dean were great. His matches with Jericho were great.
You never get anything less than 100% out of Kevin Owens.
Yeah, I just think eventually, like, to me, I watch them, and it's inevitable that at some point they're doing the same thing, but it's for a world title, and I don't think anybody would be upset with that, and it's just weird.
I don't think they'll ever do this, because I don't think Kevin will allow it, or he might leave the company before they ever do this. Do you think they'll ever turn them to the point where they end up a tag team?
You know what? It's not outside the realm of possibility.
Yeah, I don't think they'd, I don't think they'd want to, because both of them are good enough to be, you know, singles guys. They could at some point.
All right, so the final two in round four. Baron Corbin.
I do not like this guy at all.
Goes to SmackDown. Okay, so here's the thing. And I've, you know, we've done 11 podcasts so far in Mayhem Mike's history, and it should be pretty apparent to everybody. I'm the guy that loves to watch the guys that are the popular guys, John Cena, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins. Well, I don't really like Seth, but I can at least watch him. Dean Ambrose, you know, those kind of guys. Where did this guy come from? He's just kind of here. Like, I know he probably came from NXT.
Yeah, he was in NXT for a long time.
And his thing is, I'm Baron Corbin. I can beat you in less than 30 seconds.
Yeah, he's sort of the big angry heel, and the reality is he's not a lot different from his character. He's kind of gruff backstage and not an easy guy to get along with necessarily. I've always felt there's just something missing from the guy, and it still feels that way, and in a way that's worse than what I've said about Reigns.
Right.
And, yeah, just, Reigns, I don't know.
Like, charisma, Corbin does not.
Yeah, I think Reigns will eventually get there. Corbin, I'm just not sure about.
I don't know.
I think Corbin has a certain look that Vince likes. He looks like a bad guy. He looks like a fucking 1980s goon. Like he should be backing Cobra Commander. You know what? He looks like a dreadnought. That's his thing. But, yeah, I don't like him. Screw this guy. Yeah.
All right, number 20 overall, ending out round four, was Enzo and Big Cass. They go to Raw, or I should say they stay on Raw. I love watching these guys. It's taken me a little while, but I love watching these guys. I made this analogy a couple episodes ago. Every time I see Enzo, I don't know why, I just think Scotty Too Hotty, just because of his hair and his wild style. But I just love the two of them.
I cannot not listen to him. Whenever Enzo talks, I'm utterly enthralled. And the first time I saw him at Roadblock with Big Cass, that guy held like 4,000 people captivated for his entire promo. And then every match since, like sometimes me and Ryan will talk just as friends, as kind of like, just like kind of screwing around. And sometimes he'll be like, yo, I'm a certified G. That's how Ryan will talk to me sometimes, and I always get such a goofy
smile. I've never
smile.
Said that.
You have so. You've done it a few times, and I love it because I'm like, man, I fucking love that guy. There's something about big casts, too. I love how even when Enzo got hurt, he held his own and
yep.
grew. So
yep.
I'm so happy he's staying on it, Raw.
Yeah, because it's always a concern when one tag team member is injured to see how the other one is going to react or be able to act while that other member is recuperating. But they both of them have done amazing so far. Round five includes two draft picks from NXT. So we'll get to those. Round five, first of all, Gallows and Anderson are on Raw. So I think that further
ties into the Balor Club thing, right?
Yeah, the Balor Club thing. Drafted from NXT to SmackDown Live is the American Alpha.
I've
really
seen
good.
These guys fight. Good guys.
Okay.
Yeah, Clark okay. and Gable. The other thing is, and I mean, people will see this, you want to cheer for the guys. The two of them struggled so hard in NXT for so long trying to come up with characters. In the end, they were put together as a tag team as almost like a last-ditch effort to keep the guys. Mm-hmm. Like, they were both on the verge of being canned. And, right. yeah, they clicked, and it works well. They'll be good. They're excellent, excellent wrestlers.
Absolutely.
Speaking of an excellent wrestler.
Number 25 overall. Number 23. 23 overall. I misread that. Number 23 overall is The Big Show.
Still
he goes. Yeah, really? That's the thing. Like, some of these people, I'm like, wait, have they even done anything? And don't get me wrong. I like Show. I think he's cool. I think they misused him a few times. Well, he is. No. I'm not saying that he isn't. What I'm saying is, in the last, I would say, 5 years, there was one point in 5 years that they, there's one storyline with him I absolutely, to this day, can still not stand. It's the storyline of him being Stephanie's bitch, essentially.
The only one I can recall, is I've only been in wrestling for 2 years, is where he's like, I'm doing this for my family. I must betray John Cena or something.
That's the one. Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about, where he was essentially Stephanie's bitch. She was
My favorite Big Show storyline was easily when the big boss man dug up his dad's casket. And that was great. That was a wonderful storyline. So anyway, we were talking about Cesaro being pissed off. Yeah, this is a good reason why.
Yeah.
I mean, the show's not even on TV.
I know. Number 24 overall, Dolph Ziggler to SmackDown Live.
I think this is a solid pick because Ziggler, while not a lot of people care about him, when he works, he really does try. I mean, I think maybe he works a little too hard, a little too fast, which he's eventually going to kill his knees. But hell of a guy. He does try. I wish he got more respect because I love Dolph Ziggler.
Well, he gets put in the stupidest storylines.
Yeah, he gets.
He must be like a company guy. He's like, hi, Vince. Yeah, I'll do it. Sure. Whatever.
And of course, he gets drafted to the show that Corbin's on so they can continue wrestling each other forever until the end of time because that's been great so far.
Number 25 in the final overall for round five here. We have from NXT to Raw, we have Nia Jax.
Nia,
whatever.
She's really good. She plays, she's sort of the monster for that division. She's a larger woman, but she can wrestle really well. She'll
throw you around.
Yeah. She'll be terrific on Raw, too, where a lot of the women she worked with and everything are at some points are there. So
I kind of just want to see her kill Charlotte.
Yes, please. Somebody kill Charlotte, please.
Well, Banks, I expect Banks has a mystery partner coming up too. And everybody's wondering if that'll be Bayley. And that's why they held off on her. I don't know.
All right. Round six. This was the final televised round. So essentially what they did here, folks, on SmackDown Live, the first SmackDown Live on July 19, 2016, what they did was they did a 30 Superstar Battle Royale announcement because there are 30 total televised picks. 26 overall is the man that everybody forgot, including Gravity. Neville, does he still work?
Yeah, he's coming back from
injury. I haven't seen him since Stephen Amell teamed up with him to defeat.
Don't you remember? He's just back from injury. He broke his leg against Jericho in a match.
Yeah,
that was televised, by the way. And Jericho,
is that at a pay-per-view, or is that just a regular
match? No, that was a normal match. And remember, Jericho got into it with the ref who didn't notice. Like, he didn't know that they since made good. It was just an accident. The ref didn't see or didn't know that Neville's, you know, leg had broken. And didn't stop the match on a pin.
Yeah, I don't remember that at all.
I do vaguely, yeah. That poor Neville. But I'm glad he's on Raw. I think he deserves to be there. Once again, great guy to watch. He works. I think he'll do some great things down the road.
Mm-hmm. He's another guy that it almost seems like he would have fit SmackDown better just because, you know, young talent, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. But he'll find a home either way. He's a guy who... is going to compete for, like, the Intercontinental and U.S. title and stuff like that.
Meanwhile, on the CW's Arrow, apparently Stardust is going to have a starring role in Arrow Season 5.
Stardust was not drafted for some reason.
Well, he got featured in Endeavored to Arrow. That's where he ended up. But I saw a news story somewhere, and I know this one was not a hoax. I saw Stephen Amell talking about Cody Rhodes being on Arrow at some point.
That reminds me, speaking of people who've been featured in Endeavor, have they officially let go of Ryback or what?
I don't know if his contract's up now or what. That's a good question.
Because he's not even on this list anywhere,
yeah.
I don't think.
Yeah. So, I mean, inevitably, he'll be off the...
Yeah.
Off
he's
of it.
He's more welfare.
Yeah, that's a good point. And by the way, I kind of like Ryback. I just
same here. Honestly, if anybody, I think, deserves a lot of... I'm trying to think here, what's the word? When he's not in character, that guy seems so humble and so genuinely thankful to be there. That's what I like about. Like he did an like interview. I think it was with like Renee Young, and I think he was talking about like depression or something. You got such a genuine response out of him, thinking, man, I feel you, man. I get you. And he was talking about his time on, like, Tough Enough. That's what made me like him. But then again, him as a wrestling professional, he's really unsafe. I mean, if you listen to the CM Punk interview with Colt Cabana, he talks about how pretty much he tried to kill CM Punk at one point.
Well, to be fair, who hasn't tried to kill CM Punk?
Yeah. Anyway. I think the only one that hasn't is AJ Lee, and she's retired at this point. All right, number 27 overall, we go to the Heart Dungeon to talk about Natalya going to SmackDown.
I miss Punk. Oh, anyway.
Give Natalya something to do, for the love of God. Someone write her better.
Well, I like what they've done. The feud with Becky Lynch is good because it's given both of them something to do. And for once, the WWE has two storylines with women going on.
Yep.
Which is amazing. It's like they're actually people. It's crazy, WWE. What are you doing? All right.
Number 28 overall, Cesaro to Raw.
Should have been top 15.
I feel so bad for him. And just he's the quintessential guy who's just never been given a chance.
Honestly, I would have swapped him, truthfully, with Bray Wyatt. Because honestly, you get more consistency out of Cesaro.
What if they had swapped him with Zayn? And that's not to say Zayn's ceiling to me is higher, but I think Zayn's got the Daniel Bryan, he's the underdog kind of thing, and you make it part of his character that, well, hey, you know, I was drafted this low, but I'm going to make, you know, good on it. Maybe you have him beat Owens to start off, and then, you know, you push him that way. It would have worked a little better. Instead, in real life, like I'm not talking about wrestling here for a second, it feels like a slap in the face to poor Cesaro.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, like, I think he must have pissed someone off somewhere.
I don't know. I feel so bad for him. It just he's a guy that you can see. He's got talent. He's got insane passion for wrestling and the fans and everything, and just hasn't been given a chance to have it pay off.
Number 29, Alberto Del Rio returns to SmackDown.
Crickets.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Number 30, Rocksteady stays on Raw. I'm sorry, I can't call him by his real name.
More crickets.
worker.
He hasn't done anything.
Then are you not all right, entertained? So,
yeah, that's the televised draft. Before we get to the rest of the draft, I think we ought to take a moment here to talk about the commissioners and the GMs of SmackDown and Raw. We got Stephanie and Mick Foley running Raw, and we got Shane and Daniel Bryan running SmackDown. Now, let me ask you guys, were you at all shocked when Shane made the announcement of who his GM was going to be?
No, because they leaked it 2 days earlier on the app.
See, I don't watch. Yeah,
I was so stupid excited for that, though, because he's going to get fired.
Yeah, on the... I'm loving him, by the way, on the Cruiserweight Championship, like the tournament. That's fantastic. And he and Mauro are outstanding together. It's fun listening to them. And then they have Graves, like, adding stuff, too. That's a great announce team. Anyway, in terms of this, I'm really happy with Brian and Shane, partially because it means I don't think the GMs and the people in charge are going to be the story on that show.
Right.
And I know earlier I referenced it feels like SmackDown is kind of the B team. This is something that I think is going to help them become the A team if they get good writing and everything else. Because they're not going to feud. You're not going to get the whole authority bullshit taking over every single show.
Yeah.
And so the other side, I feel like it will take over the show because I feel like they're going to have Mick and Stephanie not get along. And that's going to be your storyline. They're not even... You know, they'll get Rollins and everybody else involved, and you're just going to have another authority sort of thing go on again that we've seen year after year. Bleh.
So let me ask you guys, with Triple H really focusing on NXT at this point, I assume that's what he's focusing
on. It seems like that. And the Cruiserweight thing, too, and he's got a lot of stuff going on.
Okay, so with him off doing all this stuff, I mean, I've said it for the last, you know, year that we've been doing the show. I was so sick of the authority. Get rid of the authority. Do it. And they've kind of done that, but they, like you said, they may bring it back with...
I'm terrified they will.
I know, but I hope they don't. But it's one of those things where are we happy or unhappy that Hunter is not on TV at this point?
I'm happy, and I'm happy he's concentrating on, because he's done a great job with NXT and other stuff. So
now, is he actually on, because he runs NXT?
No, he's not on the show.
Okay.
He's not a character or anything, and I think he's happy with that, too.
Yeah, good. All right, round 7, untelevised. It was announced during WWE Draft Center Live on WWE Network. Number 31, the Golden Truth goes to Raw.
Is there anybody who gives a shit about this?
No.
Okay, honestly, can we rapid fire these? Because who gives a shit?
Yeah, no, we are. Like I said, you know, the first 30 were televised. The non-televised ones, we are so lightning rounding these things. The Usos go to SmackDown Live.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah, I know. Titus O'Neil, Raw.
He deserves more. I really think so. Because honestly, he tries, but with the wellness policy, or not the wellness policy, with
the shaking Vince's hand violation.
Yeah, I know. The asshole, whatever. The demon
kissing.
Kane, can't say I'm surprised there.
Yeah, Kane goes to SmackDown. Paige goes to Raw, and that's round 7.
Well, see, Paige, I'm surprised, is not televised.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening with her.
Yeah.
Well, supposedly something happened with her and Del Rio in Vegas for Money.
Who knows?
Who knows? All right, number 36 through 41, round 8, Darren Young with Bob Backlund go to Raw, Kalisto, SmackDown, Sin Cara, Raw, Naomi, SmackDown, Swagger, Raw.
Let me give you my opinions. Okay, sure, don't give a shit. Why? Naomi... I like her. I think she should maybe have gone a little higher. I'm not sure where I'd swap her out, though, truthfully, because I do like her.
Jack, well, she's another
still employed.
And then the Ascension.
Why are you working in the concession stand?
Speaking of wellness violations.
Who, the Ascension or Swagger?
Ascension.
Okay.
Yeah, with Connor. Him and fucking Spikies in the back.
The thing with Naomi, really quick, there was a point about a year or so ago where she was like, ooh, give me the championship, like right before the Bellas left. Let me have the... What the hell happened to that?
There was some drama with her and Total Divas. Because they backed off her involvement on that show significantly.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of wondering what the hell happened there.
I think the splits... The thing with the split is it's going to help a lot of these like lower people maybe get a bigger role, especially if they bring in new people, as they've said, to do squash matches and quick TV matches and stuff. So hopefully she's one that gets helped by this.
I hope so. Right.
Absolutely.
Round 9, the Dudley Boys.
Before, I'm sorry. Oh, shit. Before we get to round 9, I just happened to look at Facebook. Neil posted on my timeline, Raw and SmackDown Live new promotional images with Mick and Stephanie and Shane and Daniel Bryan. Oh my god, you guys have to see this.
This is translating well to podcast.
I'll put it in the post. People will be able to see the damn image. wow, that's hilarious.
So looking at round 9, 42, the Dudley Boys to Raw. Not entirely surprised there. I think they would have done better on SmackDown, truthfully. Because I think that spot should have went to someone else.
Yeah, we got the Ghostbuster himself, Zack Ryder, because he was on the Ghostheads documentaries.
I love Zack Ryder because he's a nerd. He's a Ghosthead.
That was the thing. Like, I wasn't sure who I was going to see on the Ghostheads documentary, and I'm like, wait, isn't that Zack Ryder? Why are they calling him by his... Okay, whatever. So Zack goes to SmackDown. Summer Rae stays on Raw.
Hey,
Apollo.
You know who I just realized was not drafted? Emma.
Yeah, it's just because she's injured, I guess.
Oh, right, probably. Yeah, because of her back injury, that's right.
That's my guess, yeah. So who knows when she's back. Hopefully soon. I guess Nikki Bella's on the verge of returning, too. Yeah, but I don't know. She'll be, like, part-time. Might be good. Anyway.
Yeah. So Apollo Crews goes to SmackDown. Mark Henry
skipped right over Summer Rae. Summer Rae, yep, who gives a shit?
I said Summer Rae,
said
but
it, just nobody cares.
Interrupted me. Yeah. I said Summer Rae stays on Raw. Apollo Crews to SmackDown. Mark Henry on Raw. Is Mark... Wasn't he retiring?
I think he said this is his last year.
Yeah, I think he's close. So he'll stick around and maybe put some more guys over. I think, I don't know, he's a guy I got a lot of respect for, because with what he's done.
Do too. Yeah, absolutely. I just remember on Raw him making a farewell kind of Daniel Bryan-like speech saying he was leaving, but okay. So the last one in round 9 was a draft pick from NXT to SmackDown Live, Alexa Bliss.
I want to say I remember her being okay.
She's not great. It's a weird choice considering all the other talent. But again, I guess they didn't want to, you know, leave NXT with very little. So yeah, they just picked up like her, and then we'll get to some other like not well known ones.
Yeah. All right, not well known ones are in round 10. A little bit here.
Anyway.
Braun Strowman to Raw.
Why?
Breezango.
Also,
Breezango to SmackDown. Bo Dallas, he still works.
I was about to say, holy shit, Bo Dallas is still employed.
Social outcast still lives.
Yeah, going to Raw. Eva Marie, the redheaded whore, going to SmackDown. The Shining Star.
Sure, she's not a slut, but
yeah, that's you shouldn't say that. She's a bad. Yeah, just because she's a bad wrestler doesn't. Yeah, that's not good.
But everything I've seen her in with WWE on the televised stuff, they use her as essentially eye candy, as sex symbol.
Yeah,
so
yeah, but like they use everybody for that too.
Well, you know, I was actually thinking
there's a reason Seth Rollins comes out covered in oil. I mean, let's be honest here.
Well, it's funny. I was watching something on the network with like Blair yesterday, and it was Summer Rae's bikini sheet. And here's the thing, though. Summer Rae and Eva Marie, I respect them as athletes, because honestly, let's face it, they could run circles around us. But they're not built like wrestlers.
No.
When you look at them compared to Bayley, compared to Austin.
Dana Brooks.
They're not built the same. Honestly, I don't want to be labeled as sexist when I say this, but they're built more like adult film stars. As opposed to
they were hired in the era when women, that's what women's wrestling was, when it's like, if you listen to Banks or Charlotte's a great example as well. Growing up, they grew up in a time when women's wrestling was the Attitude Era, which was like mud fighting and like, you know, lingerie matches and all this sexist bullshit. And they wanted to bring legitimacy to it. And, you know, that's one of the things through NXT they were able to do. People like Summer Rae and Eva Marie were hired in an era before that when it was still the lingerie and still the...
Yeah.
It wasn't about any type of wrestling or anything. And it's interesting because you almost get to see the evolution between these two groups being on... you know, Raw and SmackDown at the same time. You get to see the group of women that grew up with wrestling. Like, and that's not to say, by the way, like Becky Lynch, Charlotte, and Sasha Banks are absolutely gorgeous, beautiful women. It's just they as people have more interest in being good wrestlers than being marketed as models and that kind of thing. And that's where the disconnect is. Whereas I think like Summer Rae, and there's nothing wrong with this. I mean, if that's what she's paid to do, then go for it. But like somebody like Summer Rae is paid to look good versus go out there and wrestle a 20-minute match.
Yeah, she originally, when I first saw Summer Rae, is when she was with Fandango. She was basically paid to dance, to look good, to just stand there and be his ring candy. Eva Marie, I first saw her on Divas, and half the crap that she was doing wasn't even trained. Like that first season of Total Divas, she wasn't even training. She was off on photo shoots and blah 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 blah. So yeah,
she was more concerned with Instagram likes than like to do a pin.
I give her credit that she's come a long way and she seems to actually be trying at it. But it's partially WWE's fault for allowing her to get to that point and, you know, not doing anything with her, trying to help her.
Yeah, because honestly, she has a fantastic look. She looks cool, but she's not Sasha Banks today. She's not.
Yeah, no. She's not one of those physical female wrestlers that are going to get in there and kick ass.
Yeah,
she's just
honestly,
not.
If you put 30 pounds on Eva Marie, she would look like a superhero.
Yep.
But I digress. All right.
Rounding out round 10, we have the Puerto Rico.
What the hell is all this? This is their travel bureau. Yeah.
You don't understand. They love Puerto Rico. Why can you not get it?
I just don't give a flying fuck, honestly.
I love them as Los Matadores.
But
this is just, who got this through, like...
Creative,
honestly, who sat there and said, look, man, here's an idea. Puerto Rico, okay? I'm with you. And
No, you guys don't get it. You guys really like Puerto Rico. Okay, what else is there? No, you really like Puerto Rico.
Yeah. Last one, the Vaudevillains go to SmackDown Live.
I'm surprised they're this low. My God.
I think it gives them, you know, they have room to grow, and like SmackDown's something that'll help them. The tag division went from us complaining like a year or so ago that it's New Day and nobody else... holy crap, there's all these awesome tag teams.
Yeah, holy crap, yeah. Well, you got Enzo and Cass, specifically. You got, I mean, to a lesser extent, I know everyone is like, oh, Dudleys, go away, you're old, you're whatever. I still love the Dudley boys.
I'm still having them there. We need
them. All right, round 11, final round here, lightning round here. Alicia Fox, does she still have a job? She goes to Raw.
Let's say, aren't you driving people to different shows? Eric Rowan, hey, I'm glad you're
SmackDown.
Back. Glad you're not dead.
Yeah, to SmackDown. Dana Brooke to Raw. From NXT, we get Mojo Rawley.
Yeah, what?
I'm actually happy for that because I love him. Because he's so happy about it.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. He's a great guy. Like, you watch Breaking Ground or anything else, and you can't not cheer for the guy who's...
Oh, God. What? Wait until they team him up with number 58, Curtis Axel. It'll be Mojo's Axel.
I love Mojo and Zack Ryder.
Yeah, they'll team them up probably, and good energy guys, and like, I'm happy for them. It's just, when you look at the NXT roster, it was surprising that, okay, he's the pick, alright, whatever.
So as I said, Curtis Axel goes to Raw, 58th overall pick, and then the final pick was Carmella from NXT to SmackDown Live.
What the hell do you draft her to fucking NXT or to SmackDown when you've got Enzo and Cass on Raw? What the hell?
I know, yeah.
And then undrafted, Heath Slater,
which is obviously some sort of storyline they're going to be doing with him since. You know,
I did love how they did that bit though, where they just turned off the lights on him.
Yeah.
Like, hey.
I still here, but for how long?
Yeah, they did all these bits, so I mean, it's obvious that there's some sort of, you know, there's something going on there. They're gonna do something with him. So.
All right. So that's the overall draft. We're gonna take a quick break. And then we're going to come back with the closing of the show, but we're also going to do something a little different, something we don't normally do, since normally we usually just talk about the pay-per-views we've already seen. So we're going to do a little bit of Battleground predictions. We'll be back after this.
Here in Dallas, Texas. Way back in 1989, I started my damn career right here at the Sportatorium in Dallas, Texas. When they first built this building, American Airlines Arena, they shipped in Stone Cold Steve Austin and the most electrifying man in sports entertainment, The Rock, to break his sumbitch in. If y'all here in Dallas ready for Monday Night Raw, give me a hell yeah. If y'all here in Dallas ready for WrestleMania 32, give me a hell yeah. I thought that's what you would say. Hey, I got this to say to you folks. I am proud and glad to be back here in Dallas, Texas. Hell, I stomped so many mud holes in this town and walked them dry. Sometimes I got to drink a cold beer and just reminisce about it all. Anyway, enough of that BS. Coming up in a couple hours live on the WWE Network, I got the Beast Incarnate, Brock Lesnar, coming on the Stone Cold Podcast, streaming live on the WWE Network, and that's the bottom line, because I said so. What I'm going to do right now is introduce a man I got a hell of a lot of respect for. I've been in battles with him inside the 20x20 ring. He's one of a kind. He's the only man that had ever done exactly what he's done. Next, and coming up this Sunday, in a Hell in a Cell match, he's going to step in that sumbitch for the last time against Brock Lesnar. It gives me great pleasure. I'm very honored to introduce to you The Undertaker.
Thank you.
All right, we are back here on Mayhem Mike's episode 12, the WWE 2016 brand extension draft episode. Overall, before we get to the battleground predictions here, overall, Ryan, how did you feel about this draft, and do you think it will last?
That's a good question. No, I mean, Neil was right that time's going to tell. It's going to be how these guys get used that kind of play out. As for whether or not it's going to last, yeah, I hope so. I mean, you know, if the draft, the problem I have with predicting it meaning something, I mean, you know, we talked about it last time that it feels like WrestleMania didn't mean anything. Like the Roman Empire fell pretty quickly for obvious reasons. You know, Shane still got control of Raw for a while. Like, what was the point there? And I'm worried they might do the same here, that guys just show up and they swamp, or... I don't know. Time will tell.
I'll say you'll see this solid until at least Royal Rumble. After that, who knows?
My hope is that it results in, you know, some of these younger guys or guys like Cesaro finally getting a chance.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike, overall, what are your overall feelings now that we've gone through the draft and you've seen who's going to be where, and do you think it will last, or do you want it to last, or do you want them to do something else in like a year?
I want SmackDown to be a chance for that show to shine, because for the longest time, I really liked SmackDown because it wasn't just the Raw recap show. You got better matches on it because there was less time. Now with some of the younger guys on there, who knows? Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll get something half decent, especially with Shane and Daniel Bryan. I've got some high hopes. I really do.
See, yeah, with me, with SmackDown, I have said for years that I don't care about SmackDown, not because of the talent that was or was not on there, but mainly most of the time because of the GMs that they had and the stupid, crappy storylines. And I mean, now with this more, like, you know, obviously Cena's on SmackDown, so I'm a Cena guy, I'm a Cena fan, so now I gotta watch SmackDown to see Cena. But see, for me at this point, and I've said this before to you guys, I have Hulu Plus. I generally will watch Raw the Tuesday morning after it airs, because that's when Hulu usually puts it up, or that's when WWE allows Hulu to put it up. But lately, I have not been watching Raw or SmackDown until, like, the day before the next episode, because I don't know if it's because I'm doing too many other things or I just don't care. I'm not losing interest in the WWE, and we are still obviously going to do this podcast, but I just, like, I have no instantaneous need to find out what the fuck.
The stakes aren't there anymore.
Yeah, the stakes are not there anymore, so I'm hoping with this draft split, with this brand split, that they're going to do some sort of higher stakes. Like, I want Dean as the champion. I want him to do the Dean Ambrose shit he does, that he has been doing. Like I said last episode, when he showed up at the WWE corporate headquarters in a snowstorm, I want to see shit like that. I want to see
know what's going to happen with them. They were talking about, because of the brand split, we might get 2 pay-per-views a month. No one's talked about that.
No, I don't think I can handle two. If we got 2 pay-per-views per month, we would end up doing 2 pay-per-views every other month on the podcast. I can barely handle 1 pay-per-view a month.
I'll be very curious to see how it all kind of turns out.
All right, Ryan, you be our Battleground announcer here and tell us who's coming to Battleground for the highlight matches.
Well, let's start at the start. We have the Usos versus Breezango's the kickoff match.
Nobody cares.
Becky Lynch versus Natalya, which should be a solid wrestling match and everything. I don't know.
Is that a pre-show?
It doesn't say, so my hope is no. My hope is that that gets time, because I think they should. So next, we have Randy Orton on the highlight reel, which, you know, they've done nothing to hype the Lesnar-Orton match. So
see, that's what I'm wondering. Like, I joked when I saw that news story about Brock and the whole testing thing. I joke that, Randy's going to need a new opponent.
Nope. Apparently not. Next, we have Rusev versus Zack Ryder. That's the United States champion. Listen, I like Zack and everything, but, I mean, does anyone believe he's going to win this match?
Sadly, no.
Yeah, that's bad. Not to mention the build-up for it's been stupid. Like, Ryder loses a match to Sheamus, and then they're like, okay, you can have a title shot. Wait, what?
Yeah.
That's not how it's supposed to work. Anyway, Sasha Banks and a partner to be named later versus Charlotte and Dana Brooke. Okay. I mean, it's an odd... I don't like trying to figure out these partner to be named later thing.
All right. Well, let me ask you, Ryan. Do you think that they'll bring Nikki back for her partner?
No, I expect. I hope it's Bayley because that would be cool. But it'll probably be, I don't know. Maybe Emma comes back and she's mad. whatever. New Day versus the Wyatt family. Holy crap, did that stupid segment a couple weeks ago on Raw kill my any enthusiasm I'd ever have for this match?
Yeah.
I mean, oh, geez. Also, the Wyatt family, you know, they lose Strowman. They're not going to lose. They're not going to win the belts here or anything. It's not even a title match, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. Zayn versus Owens, that could go either way and should at least be a really good match. I'm okay if the two of them end up fighting forever.
Yeah, I am too. Cena and Enzo and Big Cass versus The Club.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty funny, by the way, that Cena's the only guy that can get Enzo and Big Cass booed. They come out to save him, they actually get booed, which is pretty funny. And it sucks that the club's getting split up. Maybe Baylor gets involved in this match. That might be a good hello for him. We'll see. But, yeah.
And then we end it with the WWE Championship Triple Threat match versus The Shield versus The Shield versus The Shield.
Yeah, it almost ends up being like Raw versus, you know, two Raw versus one SmackDown for... Show gets the belt, and it's interesting. I don't know.
Yeah,
I have no idea who's going to win that. I can't see them putting the belt onto Reigns again after, you know, he had the belt and then tested positive. And
Here's what I think is going to happen. You're going to have a fairly decent match, but you're going to get a dusty finish. They'll settle this at SummerSlam.
The one thing I don't want to see is some sort of BS where two guys get pinned and they decide, well, we'll just make two belts.
Yeah, that's what, like what Neil was saying. Yeah,
I don't want them to do that, and I'm worried that's how they're going to do it. It'll diminish the value of both belts if they suddenly do that. If they decided down the line to do something and to establish a new belt and slowly bring it up and that kind of thing, I think that could work. But if they just decide, like, yeah, two guys won, here's a new belt for everybody. Everybody gets a belt. Fuck it, let's have three championship belts. Everybody won the match. You get a belt, and you get a belt.
And you get a belt, yeah. I mean, I like the whole thing of the Shield versus the Shield, like the whole Shield triple threat thing. I like that, because I like seeing all three of them fight each other. But honestly, for me, I want to see Dean have it just a little bit more, at least until, what's the next one after
Bischoff? I think he'll lose it at Night of Champions if he's going to lose it. That's my
isn't
point.
It? No, it's Clash of Champions now,
Clash
yeah.
Clash Night, whatever.
Yeah.
Well,
then, yeah.
Well, maybe SummerSlam would be a good time to move the belt.
Yeah. Yeah, see, that's what I was thinking. Like, Well, I want to see the championship belts change hands every now and then. At the same time, I still want people to excel as those champions and have them have a little bit of a title reign.
You know what I'd like to see? I just had this thought just now. Probably won't happen. The Shield debuted, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago at Survivor Series this year?
Right.
I'd like to see each of the Shield members hold a belt.
So you want, you know... Each of them to have WWE, one to have WWE champion, the other to have US, the other to have Intercontinental, because that's all they can have.
Even if it was only until Royal Rumble, I think that would be really cool. And I'm so going to find a way to go to Survivor Series in Toronto. But still, I think that would be pretty cool. In fact, Ryan, you should try and go with me, because it's so close.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, okay.
We'll talk.
All right. So that's it for us. There's not much else going on, I don't think. Soon as I edit it,
okay,
probably.
So, anyway,
about
we always talk about stuff that we're going to promo. I'll be doing a nerd news this weekend. I know, right? I'm going to be talking about San Diego Comic-Con, some of the cool stories that caught my attention. I should have a box rollout before the end of the month. Twig topic show is Ghostbusters with Ryan and Roebuck. That'll be next Thursday/Friday. And I'm back from vacation. I'm feeling friggin' fantastic. And hopefully you guys are just as happy as I am now. Like I said, I'm glad to be back on microphone again. So,
All right.
Wow, did you just say, I hope you guys are just as happy as I am? Man,
hey,
you've turned into one.
I'm not just feeling fucking fantastic.
Wow, I feel terrible. As in, like, toaster in the bathtub, terrible. Anyway.
I've got nothing for you.
Toast? Wow.
Toasty,
yeah, toaster in the bathtub. Yeah, we need to close on that, because I don't think, Ryan, other than doing the Ghostbusters topic show, you're not doing anything right now, right?
No, I don't know. It's been a weird couple weeks in terms of movies and stuff. It's been the week and a half of Don't Judge Films by Their Trailer, with Star Trek actually being good as well, despite, like, it is a, it's hilarious, by the way. It's the first time I can ever remember somebody referencing how bad trailer reaction was in a press release that Paramount put out about Star Trek. They even said, like, yeah, the first trailer was met with universally negative.
Yeah, well, speaking of Star Trek, since we're all here and we're all talking about this, our other good buddy, Steve Snowball Sailor, went and actually saw the film, I guess.
Yeah, I saw it a little over a week ago. It's really good.
Yeah.
Go see Ghostbusters, by the way, people.
Go see Star Trek.
Don't give that movie any more money than it needs.
Fuck you. I want a sequel. Eat shit.
Yeah, wait. What are you talking about?
Yeah, unless you've seen it. Shut your goddamn mouth.
Shut the hell up. All right. We're going to get out of here. We will see you next time for the battleground of SummerSlam. So we'll be back then.
Come on! Oh my God! Welcome to reality!
Why is it so hot, by the way?
You're in Camp WWE, man!
Woo!
Now you're riding with us!
Upgrade!
Were you cool or like a douchebag at party?
Oh, definitely douchebag at party.
Live on the WWE Network, Steve Austin Show Podcast.
Talk about how you got into the business.
I got a serious question for you now.
You have a very interesting story.
Camp WWE is the most fun on earth.
It's me, it's Vince McMahon! I get all the it's something funny, Big Show.
My name is...
It does not matter!
What thy name is.
This is WWE Fastlane.
The greatest event in live entertainment is WrestleMania.
It's all fun from here.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.